The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey, friends, and welcome back to Afternoons with Mike here on the Shepherd Radio Network. I'm really excited about my guest that I have on the line with me today. Her husband is heard every night, Monday through Saturday evenings, 6 to 6:30, on a program called Saving America with Charlie Kirk. Earlier this year, Charlie was able to marry a young lady by the name of Erica. Erica, I have on the line with me right now. Let me just give you a little bit of background about her. She's currently pursuing a doctorate of education in Christian leadership. When she was a student and also out in Arizona, she was named Miss Arizona. Now, there's got to be a story in that. She played basketball for 2 years, NCAA level for Regent University. And she leads an Arizona-based charity, Everyday Heroes. I love this quote that I read back when she was Miss Arizona. This tells a little bit about my guest. The sparkling tiara is only a little plastic hat. What really matters is making a difference, and I want to change the world. And I think that is amazing. Erica, welcome to my program.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so grateful.
You know, this is a crazy day in which we live, and I can't imagine how crazy it is for you and Charlie. You guys are on the road so much of the year. He's on this big tour, seemingly forever. How is all of that working out in your calendar?
You know, honestly, it's one of those things where God just plans all of it. Honestly, like you can't, if we even tried to manage our schedule, it would be just complete organized chaos, like pinning jello to the wall. But God has been so good at making sure that everything has stayed together schedule wise and fitting it all in. And when you love what you do and you're passionate about it, time flies and you're able to somehow fit everything in to be able to make a difference. And it's been an exciting roller coaster. It's been a whirlwind. But like I told you earlier off air, we've been on the road for 332 days this year. We calculated it out the other day. So it's honestly been a blessing, though, and we've been able to make it work by God's grace, that's for sure.
You know, you didn't even really remember the source or where that quote was that I read as we were talking prior to the beginning of the program. And that really is typical for people who are busy like you guys are. And yet I think that one desire to make a difference, and really not only that, we all want to make a difference in some way, but you're a person that had the kind of renown, the kind of life that was extraordinary. You were at the top of your game, no pun intended, but you really did still play basketball at a college level. Many athletes would love to do that. You were also well known because of the pageants that you'd been a part of. And now you've married a guy who is also very, very busy. And yet to do all of those things and yet keep priorities. I heard it said one time, you've got to keep the main thing the main thing. And that's what you're doing.
Yep, absolutely. And that's a commitment that I made with my husband. And as we made the covenant with God when we got married, my husband and my family come first and foremost. Everything else will fall into place how it's meant to. But I've been really fortunate and blessed to be able to really live a full life in these past several years, even before meeting Charlie. And when I was younger, I wanted to play basketball in college, and that was something that I had the honor and blessing of doing when I got a full-ride scholarship to Regis University in Denver. And I played there for 2 years, and then God was just really weighing on my heart to expand a little bit further. And that is when the opportunity to compete for Miss USA was made available. And that was an interesting transition, going from being a basketball player to having to wear heels and a tiara and a sash and all of that stuff. But for me, it wasn't about the title. It was about having the opportunity to really be able to make a difference in people's lives from the standpoint of hearing what they have to say, getting in the community from a grassroots level, being able to help with the homeless shelters and the women and children that have been, suffering and going through so many different situations. And it really puts life into perspective. And for me, I guess you could say that I started off as a Jane of all trades and then transitioned into my current role now, not only just as a wife, but also as a business owner. I have a Made in the USA clothing company called Proclaim Streetwear, and our give back is being able to help the homeless. So every time someone purchases an item from our collection, you're given the opportunity to get a second item to hand out to someone in need on the streets in your community, or our team passes it out for you. But that's just been the mission on my heart since I was little. And that's how my mom raised me, was you're blessed to be a blessing to other people. And you have this one life and you use it. God invested into you. He invested everything into you to be able to be his hands and his feet. And so I ran with that when I was little. And I mean, I've been fortunate to have an amazing family to help guide me along the way.
You know, I was going to ask about that, Erica. You know, your family, every one of the people that I get to talk to, they've come from obviously one of two different camps, either it was a Christian home or not. And and sometimes, you know, you could say there's another if or and were the parents involved or not. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like your parents certainly were involved in not only kind of training you to have a heart for other people, but they also seem to have passed on in you an incredible work ethic.
Yeah, no, I've been very fortunate. I came from actually a broken home. My parents got a divorce when I was five, but they still remained really close, good friends. And I have a great relationship with my stepfather. And my mother, when we first moved to Arizona together, I was actually raised Catholic, and we would go to Mass every single Sunday. I got confirmed in the church, all of that, and ended up actually stepping away from the Catholic Church in 2009. That's a whole different story. But my mom, when I was little, I remember she owned her own business. She was she had her own company. And I saw firsthand, being 5, 6, 7 years old, seeing my mom be paycheck to paycheck, and because she would always put her employees first. She wanted to make sure that they had food on the table and she would be taken care of later. And so for her, she had a servant's heart. She still does. And that was something I recognized at a very young age. And so for parents that are listening out there, your kids do watch everything that you do. And it's not so much your words, but it's more so your actions and just the kindness and kindness and generosity of your heart speaks volumes, especially to a child. And so I remember when we were in church one time, and I saw my mom writing out her tithing check, and I looked at her and I was like, Mom, I don't know if we can do that. And she looked at me and she was like, this is not our money. This is God's money. And we're just managing it. We're just stewarding it. And wow. So for me, that just hit me at a really, really young age that everything here that we have, whether that's materialistic or anything of that nature, it's not ours. It's the Lord's. We're just managing it with our short time here. So that really put into perspective for me the being able to transition so easily between phases of life, whether that was living in Denver or living in China or Puerto Rico or New York or California. It really helped me view life through a correct lens. So it's been, again, my family background is anything but perfect, but God definitely used it and brought some beautiful moments out of it. That's for sure.
You know, I hear so many stories like what you've just shared, and none of us are perfect. But I think what parents need to realize that with regards to how their kids are watching them, there's an old saying that says more is caught than taught. And that really is true. While we want to be faithful to actually speak and talk and teach our kids directly, they really do. You really did learn just by watching, too. And sometimes those lessons are the most enduring and maybe impacting in your entire life.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So how is it that you came now? What was it like when you left this one organization, the church that you were part of, the Catholic Church, and you had a different experience with God? Tell me about that.
Right. So it was roughly, 2009, roughly. I was at Loyola Marymount University, actually, for just a semester before transferring to ASU. And I just had this moment of when I was with Miss Arizona USA. It's kind of interesting how all of this kind of just blends together in a really beautiful story. But after competing at Miss USA, it was one of those moments where I saw the other side of what you want to call the hometown fame. And it was exhausting. It was superficial. It was nothing that I felt really led towards furthering the kingdom and creating yourself into literally a person that was walking the walk and talking the talk. It's hard to explain until you experience it. But for me, it was one of those things where I literally there was a church down the street, and I met with the pastor's wife, and it was a non-denominational church. And I just walked in and I sat down with her, and she met with me for every single day after I gave up my title for Miss Arizona. And she just poured into me, and she was the only person outside of my family, actually, for almost a year that I met with. And I just locked myself away in my room and read the Bible cover to cover. And as a Catholic, I had the Bible and I would read verses here and there, but I never really had the chance to dive in deep into God's word. And to have that experience and to have an amazing woman pour into me and to be able to just see the Bible in Technicolor and really understand what it meant for Jesus Christ dying for our sins, that to me was something so moving and so powerful that ever since that moment, I remember just saying, that was my old life. This is my new life. And God, wherever you need me to be, you put me. Wherever you need me to go, you send the plane, you send the boat. I don't care what it is. Take me where you need me to be. Put me in whatever dark or light position you need me to be in, and I just want to be an ambassador for you. And ever since then, it was just a completely, I can't even explain it. I don't even want to, it's way more than words can ever describe. And when you have that relationship with Christ and when it's genuine and it's so soul moving and it's literally changing your life, it's one of those things where I wanted more of it. I just wanted more. I wanted to pursue him more. I wanted to dig into his word more. And so that's when I decided to also pursue my doctorate of education in Christian leadership. And then a few years after that, started a Bible program called Bible in 365. And we read the Bible cover to cover. We have about 8,000 readers right now across the world. It's an amazing program. If anyone wants to join, it's just Bible365.com. And I text people every day the readings and hold them accountable from the standpoint of making sure they do the readings for the day, because it can be hard to read the Bible cover to cover and not get distracted. But truly, when I made the decision to really dig deeper into my faith and really read the scriptures and not just sit in church and absorb what the priest was saying, but actually dive in deeper, it was a totally different experience.
It sounds like it. And, you know, your impact on those people, that's an untold thing, too. You may have to wait until you're in heaven before people will be able to say thank you for what you've done and the modeling that you have put before them. to, you know, to read the word cover to cover. We have a good friend.
I just want to make heaven crowded. That's all I want.
Yeah, that's it. That's good. Let's make it a crowded place. That's our call, and that's what we're doing. And that's what I love about you and Charlie, is that there is such a groundedness in God. And, you know, it's not like you couldn't have been doing something else, but I'm so grateful to hear the story of how that you were there. You were, in some people's eyes, at the top of the world. You had it going on, but in that very moment, when things were at their shiniest, you had this thing going on in your heart that this is not all there is. This, in fact, is not even the best of what there is. And to realize that if you have Jesus, you have it all, and and really have it all. And I mean, Erica, that comes through with you in a way that is loud and clear, and that is so wonderful. Now, in a minute, we're going to be talking in the next segment, we're going to be talking about the mission that you and Charlie kind of have together, and this whole thing which you spoke into that one interview a long time ago about wanting to change the world. You're really doing that in these step-by-step ways. But, you know, how is it that you're able to manage all of that? I've got to ask that question. How is it? You must have a long day every day.
Yes, we do. There's times where we're traveling where we don't even know what, we forget what city we're in, but we just say, thank goodness we woke up, and whatever time zone we're on, that's the time zone we're on. So we're very grateful. It takes a team. It truly does. And whether that's Charlie's team with his organization, or my team as well, we could not do it without the people that are literally behind us in every way. And even so, from the standpoint of not just physically working with us, but also the prayers, I can't tell you how much we appreciate the prayer warriors out there that have been keeping us in their thoughts and in their hearts as we travel. For travel mercies, as we're in the thick of it, whether that's Charlie being on college campuses, just it's a crazy world we live in out there. So when it comes to managing everything that we're all a part of, it really takes a village. And we're so thankful to God that He has put some unbelievable people in our path to help further this.
Now, you know, when I think about Charlie Kirk, I've never met him personally. I got to see him from a distance at the NRB this year. When I listen to his program every day, my wife and I are both big fans. And I'm so grateful for the, now I'm talking to you, and I realize that in really every way, you remind me of him, in the sense that you're articulate. He seems to be, now you tell me if this is true, he seems to be one of those kind of guys that he doesn't use notes. It's all in his heart. It's all in his head. And he's able to rattle off things so clearly that that not only are right, but they make just good old common sense. And it seems to me like, I don't know if you feel this way, but it seems like America is kind of short right now on some good old common sense.
Common sense is not all that common, my friend.
I agree completely. But I'm so grateful that we've got people like you, and we've got people like Charlie Kirk, and so many others that are really standing up against the flow of this culture, standing up against the nonsense of what we're being asked to believe, and act like this is just cool. And it's not cool. It's wrong. And thank God we've got people who are saying, nah, that's not right. So we're going to be back with you in a moment. Erica Kirk is my guest today. And she is the wife to Charlie, who is heard every night. You've heard Charlie talk about his lovely wife often on the program. We'll be back with her in a moment. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike here on The Shepherd. On the line with me today is Erica Kirk. Erica is married to Charlie Kirk, really still in the newlywed phase. What was it, May of this year that you got married?
May 8th.
May 8th. I love that date. That is an awesome date. And the reason I say that is I've studied numbers a long time, and it's often used to be the number of a new beginning. And so 8 is a new beginning for you.
You know what's so funny is I did the same thing, and the reason why I loved May for the number 5 was because it was the number of grace.
Yes.
So you and I are like two peas in a pod.
That's it. I love that. And those numbers, I studied to be a math teacher, And so numbers were always something really important to me, and I loved it, and it came naturally, but I do find that thing in the scripture where you see numbers show up repetitively, meaning something over and over, nine being the gifts of the Spirit and so forth. It's really, really fun to do. So May 8th was your anniversary. That's your anniversary date for this day going forward now. Yeah. And we wish you and really just a great continued first year of marriage. You guys are knocking it dead with frequent flyer miles and traveling around this country. You know, we were talking about your husband a while ago and speaking from the heart, and there's something that I would like to ask you, and I'm sure that it's a fatiguing thing. Would you say you would answer this, that you and Charlie keep yourselves renewed energy-wise with your eyes on the focus? Because I know how easy it is when you're busy, busy, busy doing something. Unless you're intentional and strategic, it's so easy to get burned out. How are you keeping yourself from doing that?
No, you're absolutely right. Two of the most important things, aside from obviously, you know, your faith, is your health and your time. And if you don't have your health, you don't have your time. So for us, it's really making sure that we, while we're traveling all the time, that we try to eat healthy, we take our vitamins, we try to get as much sleep as we can, drink a ton of water. I know that might sound laughable to some people, but when you're on the road so much and you have to, especially Charlie, perform at a level where you're having to think critically on your feet for few hours on end with the media watching you, waiting for you to have one slip up so that they could write a nasty news article about you. Mm-hmm. You have to be on. You have to be on. So honestly, we pray through our days constantly. But it's one of those things, like I said earlier, when you love what you do and you know that you're doing it for a purpose greater than yourself and you're seeing the movement take off, whether that's in your own community or the different cities that you travel to, and you see the fruit of that, it's contagious and it's inspiring to continue to do more. And there's just a renewed effect with that. So we try to get our rest in for sure. Every Friday, both of us, we at sundown, we honor the Sabbath, turn our phones off, turn our computers off, and do something that's glorifying to God for that sundown to sundown Saturday. And we just try to incorporate that every single Sunday, no matter where we are in the country. And that consistency we look forward to because it's our time to just recalibrate and recenter. So we try to be very intentional with our time and our health because that's what we have.
Now, you've mentioned two things that I'm really picking up on, and I pray that our listeners do as well. Number one, you really distance yourself on that time of Sabbath in your week schedule, where you distance yourself from media, from the phone. And I am really convinced in my own life that I could be tethered to this thing, and it's just it's terrible what it does to you. And then that's something that I pray that I can do better at. You're inspiring me on that day to do that. And then the second thing is drinking water. Now, you mentioned that Americans are dehydrated, aren't they?
Extremely, extremely. We don't drink enough water.
I agree.
It's actually amazing. If you do the studies and you do the research and look into what water, if you drink enough water, what it actually does to your body and how much it can heal inflammation and all these different things. It's actually quite fascinating what something as simple as water can do rather than drinking a Sprite or another sugary drink. But no, I love that you said that about the Sabbath because it's something that we are very serious about. And there's so much noise every single day that's surrounding us. And there's something really precious about having the ability to say, nope, this time's not for anyone else, but other than me and God, and we're going to take this time to be very intentional and just shut out the world. And if you really need to get a hold of us on that day, you're going to have to wait till the next, because that's just how it is. And if you set those boundaries and you make that an expectation with your team and the people around you. Obviously, if there's an emergency, there's a way to get a hold of people. But if you really set that expectation and that tone moving forward, it actually creates almost a ripple effect within your
yes.
team, because then they're like, oh, well, if they're off, then I'm going to do the same thing and like see if it helps me. But with social media and Facebook and internet and the news, we need a break. Our brains are exhausted. Our hearts are exhausted. We need to rest and we need to be still. And we just need some time to ourselves to just recenter.
You know, I think of the verse in Psalm 27, where it says, there's one thing that I desire more than any, and that is to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. And unless we can actually be intentional enough, unless we guide our time on that day enough to where we settle it down and quiet the voice that's going on in our brain, and actually take time to look into if you will, the Lord. Look upon
Amen.
Him. Look into his word. And that's something that David said there. That's the one thing that he needed, the one thing that he desired, and that was to gaze. And I love that image that
so
you've
beautiful.
Given us. It is. It's a beautiful thing. How did you meet Charlie Kirk?
That's a fun story. I'll give you the Spark Notes version. If anyone wants the longer one, we have it posted on our social media. But Spark Notes version, I went to a pilgrimage with my mom and to Israel, and it was an unbelievable experience. I tell everyone, if they haven't gone, please go. And I tell every non-believer or atheist, if you say you don't believe in God, please go to Israel and you will come back thinking that and knowing that you were totally wrong, because it's just the most unbelievable place in the world. So I went to Israel with my mom. We were standing in the ticket line to fly back to the States. And I turned around. It was super late at night. Turned around, and I saw this guy standing in the ticket line further behind us. And I told my mom, I said, that guy looks so familiar. And of course, being the mother, she was like, go say hi. And I'm like, I'm not going to go say hi. I don't even know who that is. He just looks familiar. Mind you, while I was in Israel, the prayer that was on my heart that I would just write on these little notes that I would stick inside of every single wall that would allow a note to be stuck.
Did you do that at the Wailing Wall?
Oh, absolutely. There, I did it in Hebron. I did it everywhere. And so anytime there was a place to stick a prayer, I stuck the prayer. And so anyways, I was praying for my future husband and for the Lord just to continue to use me, because I was living in New York City at the time and I was hitting my 7th year of living in New York City. And so we flew home and I got a phone call from a guy who actually I had met several years ago, and he, I didn't know at the time, works with Charlie for his organization. And he said, we're trying to hire someone for the faith component within our organization, and we would love to bring you on and interview you. I know I haven't, you know, been in contact with you since you were Miss Arizona, but I would love to possibly hire you for this position if you're available. So long story short, I get a random message from a random number, and it was Charlie. And he said, I'm going to be in New York City. I was told that I need to interview you for a position. Can you meet with me after my Fox News hit in Manhattan? I said, sure. Of all places, he chose Bill's Burgers. I had no idea where Bill's Burgers was, and I lived in the city for so long, and I was like, this will be an adventure.
So we get
to Bill's Burgers, and my goodness, did that man grill me for hours. We were probably there for about 3 to 4 hours, grilled me on politics, philosophy, theology, anything that you can imagine that's either a trigger topic or like anything that could just burn the whole restaurant down. Those are the topics we talked about, and we went back and forth. And afterwards, when he was done, he just sat back in his chair and he looked at me and he was like, you know, I'm not going to hire you. And I was like, I didn't need the job. I was just doing this because I felt like it was a reason why maybe that you guys were calling me again. And he goes, no, we're not going to hire you. He goes, I'm going to date you. And I just looked at him and I looked at him a few times and I go, you don't want to just be friends? He goes, no, I have enough friends in my life. And I was like, wow. I said, do I have enough time to think about this? He goes, yeah, until I take you out to dinner tomorrow night. And I was like, okay. All right. So I had to literally process this. I walked home because I didn't even want a taxi. I just had to process what just had happened. I called my mom and I said, Mom, she goes, did you get the job? I was like, no, but I got a boyfriend. And she goes, oh, really? And I go, you know what's so interesting? And I'm just realizing this as I was walking home, and I told her, I said, you know what's so interesting? I'm just realizing this, Mom. That guy that we saw at the airport in Israel, that was Charlie.
And oh, my goodness.
I just had the biggest goosebumps, and I just literally had to talk to God on my walk home because I was just so blown away. And I was like, why did I see him in Israel and then I see him now? And he just spoke so direct to my heart because he knew that I was so done with any type of games. He knew deep down that somehow I knew, or maybe I didn't even know, that I didn't need to just, quote unquote, be friends. And it just goes to show that when you know what you want and you see something in someone and you want to pursue them intentionally, you don't just date to date, you date with an intention. That really, you know, it really stuck with me. It stuck with him. And here we are, married and doing our thing.
You know what I'm betting now? We haven't talked to Charlie about this and we'd have to confirm it, but I think he was probably done with the interview part of that in about 20 minutes in.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, the rest of the time he was getting to know you because he was like, this lady is exceptional. And she needs to be more than a friend. That's where my money is right now.
Yeah, exactly. We definitely make a good team, that's for sure.
Well, I think so too. And this whole thing of being at that point where you were, I can hear that in Charlie's voice all the time, where you can tell that he too has come to a point where, you know, you can just do the media thing, you can be on TV, mm-hmm. you can be on radio, you can do this. But at some point, it's got to have something bigger. It's got to mean something mm-hmm. more. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's not just about being on the radio or being on
exactly.
television. God
exactly.
is leading you, and there is a driving message that God yep. is giving you.
Yeah.
And that's really a wonderful thing to have. And I can't imagine what it's like now for Charlie to have, you know, this sense that God is not only opening doors for him, but he's opening doors now for you as a couple. That's got to be exciting.
Mm-hmm. No, it's great. It's been a whirlwind, like I said, but it's been an absolute blessing. And honestly, it's what's really humbling is to be able to witness the way that God uses him in such a profound way, to really open people's eyes to see things that the way they really are, rather than how the media or the world wants to portray it. And it's, again, it's very humbling to witness.
I'm sure it is. And we continue. I want you to know that Cindy and I have been praying for Charlie. And even though we had never talked to you or really knew you at all, and mm-hmm. nor do we know Charlie firsthand either, but because of the fact that we are so much of those that respect what God is doing through him and through you, that mm-hmm. we know that you just need some people in prayer holding up your arms mm-hmm. and just yeah. being there to support you guys. And I'm praying that really all of our listeners do that for you, because Charlie is doing something that's a little bit different. It's one thing to travel around church to church mm-hmm. And to talk about what needs to happen in our country, but that's not all mm-hmm. that he does. He goes mm-hmm. into college campuses, mm-hmm. and some of those arenas are kind of like, well, like the Lions in the Colosseum in Rome. I mean, that's what I'm thinking of. I mean, there's people that would like to devour him, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We have our fair share of death threats, that's for sure.
Oh, really? Oh.
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course. And it's something, and I don't say that for sympathy by any means. I mean, we know that comes, that's par for the course. That's not anything that we're, you know, afraid of or anything. But it is what it is. You know, when you go on to these college campuses, they're godless. It's mortifying. I mean, if I was a student that was graduating high school, I would think long and hard and pray very, very hard for God to really direct my next steps, because honestly, there's very few universities that are left that aren't going to try to corrupt you and to make you think and believe things that are not at all in alignment with the biblical worldview. And on top of that, you know, Charlie and I have said this to people many times. It's so disheartening when we go to churches or even just events and we have parents that come up to us and they're like, oh yeah, you know, we send our son and daughter to XY University. And we always say, okay, well, how many of your kids share your values now after you sent them away to school? And more often than not, it's less than half,
yes,
which is mortifying. Yeah. So you're literally playing Russian roulette with your children's values by handing them off to a university. So for me, if I was in a position of whether that being a parent or a student, I would really take some time to pray and say, okay, if I need a gap year, take the gap year. Does that mean that I work for someone? Does that mean that I intern somewhere? I have no idea, but there's opportunity out there instead of just all of a sudden going into the general mill of the universities. There's so much to learn. There's so much to experience from mentors, from people that are that have been there, that have done that, that you can learn from. And the universities are just a lot different than even when I even went to school, which is, you know, only a few years ago. So
right.
It's wild. It's wild. And churches too are fascinating because you have, you know, some churches that are standing for truth and other churches that are completely okay with having their YouTube channel be their main form of community, which is very bizarre. And my question is, if we didn't have the internet and we didn't have ways to process credit cards online, would you open your church doors? Because you're, you know, sitting back being comfortable of doing your show from a YouTube feed rather than having to stand in front of your congregation to get your tithe money. Like, it's just, it's a really interesting world that we're living in while we're going through this whole COVID transition, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fascinating to see it on both ends, university and church.
These are really important issues, and I do pray that every parent would really take this to consideration and take it as a matter of prayer. You know, you can imagine what it's been like for me now to look back at the changes. When I went to college, it was in the 70s. And,
right.
You know, I thought back then that there was a lot of really crazy liberalism and ideas on. But it is exponentially greater right now. And that problem is seemingly only going in the wrong direction. We're up against a break. I've got Erica Kirk on the line. Erica is the wife to Charlie Kirk, and she is an amazing woman, a businesswoman, just a person who loves Jesus. And that is very, very clear. We'll be back with Erica coming up in a moment. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike. It's a real treat to have Erica Kirk on the line. Erica is the wife to Charlie, and they make a great team. And after talking on this program already with Erica, I can see why and very clearly understand why he was so drawn to you when he first met you, and you had that extended, what looked like a job interview that turned into really more of a screening for what ends up being a young lady that he's going to date. And that's exactly what he did. And it was all over shortly thereafter because you guys became engaged and you got married. And he talks about it often on the program. And it really is wonderful to be kind of, you know, we hear the biblical terms equally yoked or unequally yoked, but you guys are equally yoked in the sense that you both love Jesus and you both carry this deep passion. And right now it's being expressed on Charlie's show as saving America. If I could get your perspective in this next segment, what is it that you're seeing that is so concerning? I've got a ton of things on this list. What is so concerning about where our country is right now?
Where do we start? I mean, I could sit here and talk for hours about all the things that are going on. But I think the one thing that I've noticed that is kind of the root of a lot of all of this is how slowly it started and then how suddenly it's now appeared when we all of a sudden started talking about the different variations of truth. And there's your truth and my truth and their truth. And then there's one truth. There is only one truth. And when that started to get distorted, it was almost like a slippery slope that has now turned into there's more than two genders. Men can get pregnant. Like, there are, you know, political issues, like everything. Literally, are the enemy sows discord and confusion, and that is literally what is running rampant. And people are so confused about what is, quote unquote, the truth. And I think now more than ever, that's why you have to stand up and you have to be vocal, and not in a way that is combative, but in a way that you're literally standing firm. And in Ephesians, it says to stand firm twice. And I think that makes a bold statement of, okay, you might get knocked down, you might get pushed around, but you have to continue to stand and to continue to stand firm. Mm-hmm. And for us, that's something that we've been seeing, that no matter where we go, no matter how dark it is, you have to stand. And for a lot of pastors too, I want to encourage pastors out there that might be in some darker cities like San Francisco and in New York, that might feel like, hey, I need to get out of here. I feel like the more that you pull light from dark areas, it's the darker it gets. I just want to encourage people that if they feel like they're in a city that's completely falling apart, just to continue to be the salt and the light and continue to stand for truth, stand for Jesus, and do it in a way where it's bold, convicting, and unwavering. And I think that if we all continue to just own our territory where we're at and we stand in that, I think it could really make a difference rather than just running and continually running away from all the issues that are going on.
You know, that very thing was what Jesus faced standing before Pilate when Pilate mm-hmm. said, "What is truth?" And yep. that question is still ringing today, just like it did that day. And it is so sad when you think about the fact that we do have, they're like factories, the universities and the colleges around the country.
Oh, yeah.
They're like factories about those questions and making people challenge their faith and really bold out statements that are saying there is no God. And yep. yet we know there is. And
exactly.
You know, one of the phrases that gets me, Erica, I don't know how you feel about this, but they say we need to follow the science. That's what we heard during the coronavirus. Yeah. And if we really, truly followed that science, most scientists would not go into this gender question because they know mm-hmm. when you study the science, you study medicine, you know mm-hmm. that there is a distinction between male and female.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
there's no question. There's no generation. There's no gender X.
No, exactly. I totally agree. And the whole feminist movement of thinking that, you know, in scripture that somehow a woman is less important than a man because of sometimes they take the verse in Ephesians out of context and not truly understand the beautiful intention and way that God had for a wife to, I know our world hates this word, but as the wife submits to her husband, it's beautiful when you truly dig into the meaning in the Greek of what that means and just dig in deeper of the roles that a male and a female has. I feel like at times it even goes all the way back to Genesis where it was, you know, the war on the family back then between Adam and Eve. So I think it's been a battle that we've been facing for a long time, but now I feel like it's really come to a head.
I agree. And when you're traveling around with Charlie, and I know at times when he's standing up, we've talked already about how well he does speak from a position and not even having notes, but speaking mm-hmm. from his heart and staying on that top of mind way of expressing. I heard him say something that kind of was an explanation to me. He mm-hmm. really is someone that, like you said, he's continuing to be a student, not only a student of the word, but also a student in America. And he's putting the time in. So this is not just like a special gifting, although I believe he is that way. And I believe you are that way as well. I believe you're very gifted in communication. But I can tell that both of you are continuing to grow in both the knowledge of the word and the Lord, but also mm-hmm. a knowledge of what's right. And what our country was founded on. He's putting Absolutely. The time in on that, and you are too.
Yeah, you have to. And he actually has a partnership with Hillsdale College. If anyone wants to check it out, it's charlie4forhillsdale.com. And what's really cool about it is that there's all these different classes that teach you about the Constitution, that teach you about our founding fathers and our country's history. And although our country is not perfect, it is amazing. And the fact that we have the freedoms that we do is an absolute blessing. I can't tell you how many times Charlie's constantly reading, constantly educating himself on what's going on. And not so much, honestly, of the noise of the news today. That's kind of just riffraff. It's going back to the classics. It's going back to Aristotle. It's going back to all these different thinkers of the times that have really made a philosophical impact, and going back to putting yourself in the position of our founding fathers and what they were thinking and feeling as they were creating this country. And those types of things, of really understanding the depths and the roots, I think are very important. And I learned that too when I was getting my master's in law, of just being able to learn the history in a way that is where you're able to teach it and explain it to people so that they are proud to be an American. And there's something so beautiful about that when you actually take the time to read and to learn and to say, you know what, they did not teach me that the way that I just learned that in high school. And you look at civics differently and you look at government differently, and you really realize that you have a role to play in this country. Your voice is very important, and the right to vote is very important. And you have to stand up for such a time as this, especially now as a Christian and as an American and as a lover of this nation, and really be able to keep your brain sharp and know why you are here for this purpose.
And you mentioned earlier that verse in Ephesians where it talks and it repeats it twice, stand firm. So, you know, that is exactly what kids need to be doing right now. Kids need to be standing firm, but not just the young people in college campuses or high school campuses. This is a time, I believe, it's a wake-up time for all parents, all citizens every city of this great nation. This is the time to get involved and begin to pray for our nation, because there are many forces, these that are against America, and that's exactly what I think. It's not too strongly put to say that they're against America. These are un-American thoughts and un-American laws that are coming out right now. We need to stand firm and say, no, here's what should be happening.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you. And to really keep the family unit intact and really keep the communication line between your kids and your grandkids and your family flowing. And I know that the holiday season is coming up, and it can be kind of chaotic with all these different viewpoints that are going to be flooding in into one room as you sit down for meals and the holiday season. But really, if you're up against a situation where you have a family member who does not think the way you think or believe how you believe, I would really encourage them to really just ask them questions. Don't automatically just jump down their throat and say, this is why you need to believe what you believe. Really just ask them questions similar to how Jesus did, and be like, why do you think that? What made you think the way you're viewing this topic? Or just dive in deeper with them. And as they try to break down what their beliefs are, there will be an opening for you to pour into that and say, let me just redirect you and your thoughts to view it maybe a little bit differently. So I really think that where people view others as obstacles, I just want to encourage them to view them as opportunities, because although we're going through a crazy time right now, there's time. There is still time to be able to really make a lasting impact.
Well, you're doing that, Erica, and even in your description of that, it's so full of grace, and it's so reminiscent to me of just what the scriptures teach. And, you know, somebody said it this way, that has the aroma of the Lord all over it. Now, I say that that's, you know, from our limited experience, obviously, but I'm telling you that we are all, when we listen to people who have the ability of what Charlie is doing and what you're doing to stand up and to say, and really to give an answer to, sometimes it's a trick question. It sounds like, you know, he's being baited and they're trying, like you said earlier, to catch him on something. And he comes up with this bold, straight ahead, in your face, knock you in the nose answer. But afterwards, people are standing and applauding because, you know, that makes perfect sense.
Exactly. Oh,
I love it when that happens. Now tell us how people can get in touch with your brand and your business that you've got going and your website.
For sure. For our Made in USA clothing line, it's a Christian clothing line. Everything is cut and sewn in Los Angeles and New York City. They can go to proclaimstreetwear.com. It's based off of Isaiah 61, so you can read more about that on there. And for those who want to join our Bible and 365 program, we're going to be starting that again up in 2022. They can go to BibleIn365.com and join us. And we're so excited. We'll be not only just texting, but emailing. And we have a new app that's coming out as well to further our little community that we have going on. So that is the best way to stay in touch.
Again, just know how much I admire your heart for the Word of God and walking through. And with all that you guys have got going on, you're still taking time to be a help and to be an inspirer for those that need to be reading the Word of God the way you're doing. And that is just wonderful. For you and Charlie, what's ahead for you in the balance of this year?
Well, we have America Fest that's coming up in December in Arizona. So if people want more information on that, they can go to tpusa.com/AmFest, A-M-F-E-S-T. And then we have a few events here and there, various churches. Those are definitely my favorite stops on our tour, for sure. And then we're going to take January for some time to just recalibrate and get 2022 all set out and then back on the road again.
Well, there's a lot of work to be done, and I appreciate all that you guys are doing. Charlie and Erica Kirk, we'll be praying for you, Erica, and we thank you for taking this hour and being with me on my program today. It means the world to me and to our listeners, and we'll just please know we're praying for you.
Thank you. That means the world.
Stand strong. I know you're doing a great work. And friends, thank you as well for being with us today on Afternoons with Mike. We'll catch you next time here on The Shepherd.